folks. This is Pastor Mike Hoggard coming to you from Watchman Studios with another Watchman video broadcast. Take a look at this. This article came out here a few weeks ago. Can a burgeoning satanic movement actually affect political change? Now, what this article is about, I've got several more, probably won't get to them today. But people are starting to take note that as Bible Christianity declines in America. And when I say Bible Christianity, I mean the Christianity that actually still believes and uses and practices the faith that is in the Word of God, not all this other nonsense Christianity, that coffee shop church, mega church nonsense, name it, claim it, Joel Osteen stuff. That's its own separate witchcraft, all right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about true believers. I'm talking about the reason why a lot of you folks will watch our live service wherever you are, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, instead of going to a local church simply because you can't find one that still believes in the Bible. And so while the Bible-believing church is on the decline in America, something is taking its place. Witchcraft, Satanism, Wicca, sorcery, those becoming wizards, paganism. Paganism and Wicca are sort of first cousins to one another. They all believe in use the force, Luke. They all believe in using this elemental force that is in all nature, that binds all of the universe together, ties us all together as one. And we're going to use all of this power that is in the earth and the air and the fire and the water. I'll explain all that as we move along. But that kind of Wicca is related to paganism because they're basically using the same thing, and they're earth worshipers, Gaia worshipers, all right? So in this episode, in this, the next probably few Watchmen broadcasts, we're going to deal with something again that I've dealt with many times. I've dealt with it explaining what Wicca is, what witchcraft is. I'll never forget the first time my wife and I were in the mall. And we walked into one of the bookstores that is in the mall. And right at the checkout counter, right at about this height, right where little kids could see, was this book called The Little Girl's Guide to Spells and Witchcraft, or something like that. And it had all these pretty little pink designs on it. It had all this color-drawn pictures in it, and basically it was teaching 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old girls how to do witchcraft. And I've seen it. I've seen it where you would have families that would go to church on Sunday, the teenagers sitting in a Sunday school class or just sitting in part of the worship service, and then go home and open up their teen witch books and their guides to spell casting and all these other things and actually practicing witchcraft right in their parents' home while they go to church, all right? Now, I can tell you, again, some churches, those two would never clash, all right? But in a Bible-believing church, I guarantee you what's coming out of the pulpit of a Bible-believing church, and there are still some left, what's coming out of the pulpit will clash with witchcraft, even if that pastor doesn't know that much about it. And I'm not saying every pastor, every church member ought to know. But what I am telling you is that Wicca, witchcraft, sorcery, wizardry, the magical arts, things like that, they are on the rise in this country. And it's because of the decline, number one, of morality. It's because of the decline of the Bible in the pulpits of America. Of that, I have no doubt. This article says that witchcraft, Satanism, things like that, they're now starting to have an impact on what goes on in the political realm. Now let's take that now and let's go to our source text. We're dealing with the capstone. We're almost there. We're almost ready to put the capstone on top of the unfinished pyramid. So here's our source text, 2 Chronicles 33, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Now let me stop right here just for a minute. And I want you to, we started out in this series dealing with Manasseh and some of the numbers here, and he was 12 years old. And I want you to get this, because the age at which Wicca, paganism, sorcery, wizardry, things like that, begin to take over in a person's life is usually around the age of 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and so on. So here Manasseh, he is primed and ready to be introduced and actually to start participating in Wicca, witchcraft, wizardry, sorcery, enchantments. He's already at the age where he is starting to practice this. I've told this story many times, but back in my youth, I used to love to read comic books. And any chance I got, like if I'd go to the flea market or we go to yard sales, I went looking for old cheap comic books. And whatever money I'd had or whatever money I could get out of my mom, I bought comic books. And there was a full-page ad in these comics back in the 70s called The Magic Power of Witchcraft. Now, you have to remember, this was a comic designed for kids to read. And this full-page ad, some of you may know what I'm talking about, basically advertised a book that you could buy through this comic book on how to be introduced into witchcraft. Part of the selling point was, so simple, a child could do it. And I'm going, I'm a child. I could do that. And I was going to church, this church, and there was already a draw on me to turn myself over to witchcraft. And I tell you, if I would have had the extra money laying around, which I didn't get very often, but if I would have had the money laying around, I probably would have found some way of trying to get this book without it getting past my mama. Because I wanted that book. I wanted to learn what that power was. It was a draw on me back then. And it is a draw on children now. They're being flooded. Go to the bookstore. Go to these big book chains and go to the occult section or go to the New Age section or go to the religion or go to the teen and preteen section. Because what you're going to find is that they are marketing books and selling books to 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old children, getting them hooked at an early age into witchcraft. Manasseh was 12 years old when he started down that road. Anyway, let's keep reading. Verse 3, for he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit. We talked about that. And with wizards, and we're including witchcraft and wizards together in this one, in this series. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Then, to top it all off, he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. And so let's break this down once again. He built the high places, reared up altars for Balaam, made groves, that's number 3, worshiped all the host of heaven and served them, that's 4 and 5. He built altars in the house of the Lord, built altars for all the host of heaven, caused his children to pass through the fire. He observed times, that's number 9. He used enchantments, used witchcraft, dealt with the familiar spirit, and with wizards, 13. Which is really interesting, and I'll show you why in a little bit. He used witchcraft and with wizards. And number 14, he set a carved image, the idol, which he had made in the house of God. And I want you to notice here, on the back of the $1 bill, the reverse of the great seal, which I don't think it's all that great, the United States of America, Anuit Coeptus, Novus Ordo Seclorum, which means he favors the birth, the undertaking, or whatever, the birth of a new world order. Notice we have 1776. That's the year that the Illuminati was formed, May 1st, by a Jesuit priest. Also the year of the Declaration of Independence. But I want you to notice, from that bottom row up to nearly the top, you have 13 rows of stones. That was done by purpose. It was done on purpose. Then the 14th piece is the pyramid is unbroken and it needs to be completed. So we have to add the 14th piece. What is that 14th piece? It relates to what we see here, the 14 things that Manasseh does. He does the first 13 of them, which brings him to putting the carved image that he made in the temple of God. And here's what I want you to see. The goal and the aim of witchcraft, of wizardry, of sorcery. I've dealt with this numerous times in various Watchmen broadcasts. I've tried to teach about the elements. I've tried to show you how witchcraft works. And basically, I believe that there are two types of religion in the world. Bible Christianity and witchcraft. Why do I say that? Because witchcraft, wizardry, enchantments, familiar spirits, they all go hand in hand. Manasseh did all of them. You might say that he was a master of all of the occult arts. He did it all. He did everything that God told Israel not to do back in Deuteronomy chapter 18. He did it. All right? So anyway, but I believe that all of these things work hand in hand, and witchcraft is like these other religions. Because witchcraft requires, it commands and demands, number one, that you use words, that you use rituals, that you say magic words or magic poems or some sort of incantation. And I was trying to, I was praying and seeking the Lord about how to go back into this, because I've dealt with it so many times, and I didn't really want to just go back and cover some of the information that I've covered before, because definitely, witchcraft is in churches right now. Oh, it's not called witchcraft. Oh, no. But rituals and sacred names and sacred words and faith-filled words and all this stuff, basically, that's nothing more than the law of attraction, which is witchcraft. It's in the churches, it's in the secular community, or children with Nickelodeon, Disney Channel, you name it, they're being bombarded with images and education programs trying to teach children witchcraft, wizardry, sorcery, New Age, occult arts, to bring them into that and hold them in that trap for the rest of their life. You see how it works. So I was just thinking about how to deal with it now that we're dealing with wizards and witchcraft, and what was it? What is it about witchcraft that gave Manasseh this final oomph to finally go in with a carved image into the very most holy place of the house of the Lord? What was it about witchcraft that brought that on? Because, and we've covered this before, when he set the carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of the Lord, or the house of God, the temple. We look in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, who opposeth, talking about the man of sin and the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You have God 1, 2, 3, 4 times in this one verse. He, above all that is called God, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And any time I see that number 4, we think Bible. Think Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they are about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ in all 4 Gospels. That is what brings us and gives us immortality. The opposite of that is principalities, powers, rules of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul said, another gospel, any other gospel, any other gospel. That was all in Galatians. And then in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, another gospel. 4 times. All right? Then we have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have the fourth kingdom. We have 4 beasts in Daniel chapter 7. So all of this works together with why you see God being mentioned 4 times in this one place in the Bible. He exalts himself above all that is called God or the worship, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You see it? This is the fourth kingdom. putting that capstone as the pinnacle of that is the goal and the aim of rearing up altars unto Balaam, using enchantments, familiar spirits, passing your children through the fire, consulting with wizards, practicing witchcraft. That is the goal and the aim of it. We look at the Masonic ladder. It's all about the steps to get to the illumination. This picture on the right is a sort of a back view of the House of the Temple Lodge in Washington, D.C. It features a 33-column Greek temple, think about that, and a 13-step pyramid at the top. And what it's showing you is it's combining Greece and Egypt together. It's a fusion kingdom is what it is. And this actually represents a temple. And inside this building, it actually says masonry builds its temples in the hearts of man. Think about it. That little plaque, they're dead on. They're all about rebuilding the temple. And what are they referring to? They're referring to, if you take these two sets of numbers here, 33 columns and 13 steps, that's 46. That's the number of chromosomes we have. That's what the temple is. The wilderness tabernacle had 20 boards down the south, 20 boards across the north to make the two side walls. The front just had pillars with a veil covering it. The back had 6 boards across the back, but it also had 2 like corner boards that was holding it together. But the idea is you've got 20, 40, and 6 boards there, 46 in total. That was the tabernacle. And the idea is that all of these religious practices is going to bring into place the fourth kingdom, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. The one who opposes himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And his kingdom is going to be this fourth kingdom with principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Have I covered that already enough for you? Because that is going to be the other gospel that Paul talks about. All right? So, as we're going through this, you know, I've been praying, you know, God, you know, give me something here that I can kind of work with. I don't just want to go back and rehash old things, although I don't mind doing that because I think it's good to kind of revisit things that we have talked about before, especially in the light of things that we see today. There are things that we see today in religion, in entertainment, in science that we didn't even conceive of 2 years ago or a year ago. We go back and cover the same verses out of the Bible and we're just going, it's a brand new way of looking at it, all right? But I remember the other day, it was like the Holy Ghost said, Mike, wizardry and witchcraft, enchantments, it's all about summoning, invoking. You say the magic words, you cast the right spell, you get inside the magic circle or draw the pentagram and face the four directions and the four seasons and say the hocus pocus words, and then you are summoning a spirit. You're calling forth a devil, an evil angel, a god, a beast. That's what Wicca and wizardry is all about. Which is probably why God told Israel, whatever you do when you get into that land that I'm going to give you, and you run out the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the tick bites and the flea bites and all the other bites, when you run them out, burn all their stuff with it, throw their stuff out, don't destroy their temples, break up their images, tear down their groves, don't learn their religious practices. Please don't. Because God knew. God knew that learning witchcraft, practicing Wicca, practicing enchantments, getting in touch with familiar spirits, you basically are summoning God's enemies. And these enemies are evil. And they're nothing but thieves and murderers, and they are there to kill and destroy. And so what God was telling them was really for their own good. They just didn't believe it. And I'll tell you this, and I spent a lot of time dealing with the Hebrew Roots movement, but I can tell you right now, the Jews to this day, in the form of Kabbalah, they're practicing wizardry, witchcraft, using enchantments. Because they'll sit and recite over and over and over again the same little portions of what they call the Torah, the Old Testament, the law, over and over and over again. Why are they doing that? It's summoning spirits. It's like an animal call. Make an animal call, you call the animals, they are going to come in. So watch this. Here's what God said. Here's what Manasseh's doing, and here's what God said for them absolutely to not do. This is what the law said. It's Exodus 22:18. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. It's pretty simple. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, which is one who does incantations, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, you're a wizard, Harry, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. God was saying, excuse me, Jews, I love you and all that, but the real reason why I'm putting you in that land is because I'm getting rid of these. Think about it. Oh, I love this. I love this. On or about the time you and I ascend up to meet Jesus in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, the devil has a little war going in heaven. Michael and his angels fight the devil, the dragon and his angels. The devil takes his tail and grabs one third of the angelic realm and casts them down the earth. Now, all of their mansions and their habitations, they're all empty. How convenient. And then God brings us up into heaven and we're going, who lives here? Nobody. You want it? Yeah. It's yours. God gives it to you. All right? So God, see, those evil angels that God's kicking out of heaven, they were fighting against God anyway. Take that and put that in Canaan land. Because here the land was infested with giants. And their religious practices were consulting with familiar spirits, wizardry, and witchcraft, and sorcery. And here again, Deuteronomy 18, everything that God told the Israelites not to do, it's like Manasseh was going, oh, you mean I can't do this? Guess what I'm going to do? And that's exactly what he did. And God wanted his people to have no part of it. Why? And back in Exodus 22, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. God was dead serious about this thing. He did not want his people having anything to do with their religion. Why? Because he knew the devils that would be summoned by their spell casting, by their rituals, by their sacrifices, by their practicing the occult arts. God knew the spirits that would come in and inhabit the land of Judah, Jerusalem, and Israel. God was watching out. He wasn't just giving them mean laws. No gum chewing! Wasn't that. God knew what would happen if they learned how to say these magic words and do these things. They would be summoning demons, and God said, that's not for my people. Boy, God's a loving God. He's watching out for us all the time. Now watch this. This is what's interesting. 1 Samuel 15:22. Let me read this. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken, and the word hear is in the word hearken, so you know what it means, than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And he's referring to Saul. And when we look in 1 Samuel 16:14, we see what God did. God was serious about it. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. You see it? It's about the summoning. God pleaded with Israel, don't go whoring after witchcraft, wizardry, sorcery, familiar spirits, necromancy. That means going to graves and sucking their anointing from them. The anti-Bethel church, Bill Johnson in Redding, California. That's what they're doing. They're practicing necromancy. They're going to the graves of the dead people and getting magic power by sucking their grave. And let me show you how this works, okay? He says here in 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, all right? It's interesting how God tied them both together, because watch this. Rebellion is when you disregard authority and you go against it to do your own thing. Watch this. I'm a dad. My wife is the mom. We are the adults. We've raised 4 children already. We're in the process of raising a 5th one. And our 4 children are already raising their own children, and they're getting it back, buddy. They're getting it. Because my cute little darling grandchildren are lying to their mom and dad and getting bully stubborn to their mom and dad. And they look, and their mom and dad says, do this. And they say, no. And me and my wife just sit back and we watch as our children take our grandchildren in their lap and whip them soundly. And we just go, yeah, we remember the day. Because Lisa and I are in authority over our children when they were living at home. And for a child to go against the wishes of his mom and the commandments of his mom and dad, to disregard what they said, that's rebellion. And God said rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Now watch this. Here is God. I know some of you don't believe that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here is the Word of God. It is the authority of God. It is the final authority on everything. And so we either obey what God says in His Word, or we are guilty of rebellion against the Word of God. So watch this. Here is, you always keep my books over here, right? To use as examples. All of this stuff over here represents a rejection of the authority of the Word of God. Ellen White saying things in here and in some of her other writings that God exalted the 4th commandment above all of the others. And that the 4th commandment was, and she was told this by her visiting angel, that the 4th commandment was actually the only commandment that Jesus did not nail to his cross. What verse is that, Ellen? It's not. She's a witch, Harry. She is in, well, she's kind of dead now. She was in rebellion to the final authority of the Word of God. And everybody who follows that and believes what she said is a practitioner of the same rebellion, the same witchcraft, as what Saul was. Saul got to a place in his life where he decided not to obey the Word of God. Then, when Samuel confronted him about it, he pretended, I did what God said. I sure did. I did what God... He tried to cover it up and tried to lie his way through it. And that's when Samuel said, let me tell you something. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. And you have out... See, Saul had already outlawed witchcraft all around the kingdom. Like he's some super guy, right? And Samuel knew it. And Samuel said, Saul, rebellion against the word of the Lord is the same as witchcraft, which you banned. And he said, I'm telling you right now, because you rejected... Look at what he says. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, the Bible, the final authority. Because you rejected that, God has rejected you. And so what happened? What happened? In Saul's rebellion / witchcraft, what happened? Look at that next verse. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. A spirit was summoned by Saul's rebellion. See how it works? Okay? I mean, this Bible's right. This God knows what happens. There's an expression that says nature abhors a vacuum. If some guys on a construction site, they're going to build a highway or build a house, they send their bulldozers and all their bobcats and everything to just tear the land up, turn over the dirt. You got all this bare dirt laying everywhere. What's going to happen in about 5-6 months, maybe less? Nature is going to do everything it can, she can, whatever, to fill that void back up with whatever she can find. And what happens when this book, the Spirit of God, Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit. Here's the spirit. There's the book with the seven spirits of God right in it, right here. Okay, the candlestick in the tabernacle that had seven candles, which are the seven spirits of God, had 66 decorations on it, knops, buds, and flowers. You go count them out, all right? So that candlestick was the Word of God. The Spirit of God and the Word of God, same thing. Okay? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Three, right there. So here's the Word of God. Here is God. Here is God's Holy Spirit. When this is removed, something always comes in and takes its place. And I'll put masonry here because that's all about witchcraft anyway. See how it works? Okay? I don't care if it's a denomination. I don't care if it's a country. I don't care if it's a church or a ministry, like an online ministry, a radio ministry, TV ministry. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter who it is and how big an audience they have and how well they're paid and how good their stuff looks on TV. Doesn't matter about how popular their name is. If that book is rebelled against, then that spirit is taken out. The spirit that is in this book is removed, and an evil spirit from the Lord is sent in. Now, we've covered that many times. You remember Ahab had all four of his prophets telling him, oh yeah, you're going to win the battle. Ooh, Ahab, go for it. Rah, rah, ree, right? And Micaiah revealed what had happened. A spirit presented itself to the Lord, and God said, how are you going to do this? And he said, I'll go be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets. And God said, go do it. Okay, go do it. God released an evil spirit into Saul, and he took away his Holy Spirit away from Saul, took away the Word of God, because Saul had already rejected it. He had already said, I find flaws and errors in the word that God said. I have a better way. Sounds like what most churches say about the King James Bible or about any Bible. I find flaws and mistakes and errors in all the Bibles. And I'm going to give you something else. Listen, I'm telling you, that's another spirit. That sure is. That is rebellion against the word of the Lord, the final authority, and it's the same as witchcraft. 2 Samuel chapter 7. So watch this, okay? Here's what God said. Here's Saul. He's been given the word of the Lord by the prophet Samuel. By the way, let me help you out with something. Anytime you're reading the Old Testament and the prophet of the Lord is presented in like a story, that prophet always represents the Bible, all right? So it's like Micaiah is the prophet who goes to Ahab. Micaiah, then, is the Bible, the Word of God, the Word of the Lord. Micaiah says what God puts in his mouth to say, and Ahab rejects it. Ahab says, see, I told you, I hate that guy. He always says stuff that I don't like. I go to this other church over here with these 400 guys over here. They have, the music's really great at that church, and I like what they say. They always say positive things to me about how I can achieve victory, and I have a champion in me. Right? So anytime you see a story in the Old Testament where a prophet is going to be speaking, think Bible. So Samuel told Saul what to do. Saul decided that there was errors and flaws and mistakes in the word of the Lord, so he decided to override it and do his own thing. That's rebellion. That's witchcraft. The Bible says then that God took away his spirit from Saul and sent an evil spirit over there. Now what happened to Saul? 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. When the days, and when thy days, this is God now saying this to David. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before me. Look at what, take this now and add it to what we just read. Saul rejected this. And in rejecting this, he loses out much more than he ever realized. He loses not only the word of God, because God said, I'm not going to speak to him ever again. I am not going to speak to Saul ever again. Not by Urim, not by dreams, and not by prophets. Well, that's pretty much the whole Bible. So when Saul rejected this, he lost the word of the Lord. He lost the spirit of the Lord. And he lost his mercy. God, at that point, stopped having mercy on Saul. He did, however, on Solomon. Because Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, number one, I know for a fact Solomon's in heaven. I'll see him when I get there. Two reasons. Number one, holy men of God spake as ever moved by the Holy Ghost. That's Solomon. Number two, God swore to David that Solomon, he would be like a son to God and God would be his father. And if Solomon ever transgressed. Boy, did he ever, okay? 1,000 women to sleep with, wine, parties, music, building pagan temples all over the land. Boy, did he ever transgress against God. And some would say, oh, surely he's in hell. No, because Solomon said, God allowed me to retain my wisdom while I was doing all that stupid stuff. So now, the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon's on the tail end of his life, and he's looking back now at 40 years of being a rock and roll star. And he says, it was vanity. God allowed me to monitor what was going on in my life. And for 40 years, I spent in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And I can tell you, I had everything that every man ever lusted after. Money, power, women, whiskey, wine, parties, music. He had it all. And he said, it was vexation, vanity of the spirit. Wish I'd never done it. Okay? God never took his mercy from Solomon. But he did Saul. Listen, when you reject the authority of this book, you can't fathom, unless you really pay attention to what God's saying, you're going to lose the Spirit of God, you're going to lose God's mercy. Because that's what he did to Saul, not Solomon. Solomon, even though he did all this stuff, he hung on to the wisdom that God gave him. And at the end of his life, he says, wished I'd never done it. Okay? That's a godly man right there. Psalm 32 says so. Okay? Now watch this. 1 Samuel 28. Here's how it works. Saul rejected the word of the Lord. So then God takes his spirit away from him, gives him an evil spirit, and it troubles him. Remember? because Saul's got a troubled spirit all the time, and the only thing that could run those devils off was David playing and singing what we now have in the book of Psalms. And let me just say this. I say this to individuals. You may have heard me say it before. But think about that. Every time Saul was troubled by that evil spirit, he would bring David, and David would come and play and sing those songs to him. And those devils would leave. And I'm telling you, I wish I could tell stories. But in my worst day of my life, God had me open up to the Psalms, and I started believing what I was reading. And as I was reading, I call it God's medicine cabinet, the book of Psalms, book of Proverbs, as I was reading those things, God was putting some things in my life. I was saying, God, you're not a liar, are you? You said this, and I have to believe what you said. And so, God, I need you to do this, what you said right now in my life, or I'm not going to make it. And I can tell you this, He's still doing it. That was a long time ago. God's still doing that. So whenever you're troubled by spirits, by whatever's going on, open up the Psalms, read it. God's got something in there for you. Now, God may lead you somewhere else. That's fine. Start in the Psalms. Let God take you where He wants. So now, here's where I'm going with this, okay? We have Saul rejecting the Bible. Saul's saying there's mistakes in the Bible, so I'm going to override it. I'm going to do what I want. Samuel comes to him and says, well, wish you hadn't done that, Saul, because now you just opened up a big old can of witchcraft all over your sorry backside. So because you've done that, because you've rejected the word of the Lord, God has rejected you. So then God took his spirit away. God took his mercy away from him. As a result, you see it there on the screen. His rebellion was as the sin of witchcraft. He rejects the word of the Lord. God rejects him. Saul loses the word of the Lord. Saul loses the spirit of the Lord, and he gets an evil spirit. Saul then loses the mercy of the Lord. And here we go now. Here's the progression. Saul loses getting anything from the Lord, all because of his rebellion slash witchcraft. So here's what we see in 1 Samuel 28. This was part of the familiar spirits thing, but I'm showing you the progress. That what the Holy Ghost just sort of laid on my heart was, witchcraft is all about summoning. Are you following this? Now let's look at it with that light in mind. 1 Samuel 28, 6. When Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. A witch with the word Endor in it. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then thou layest a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Because like Saul's like saying, well, if I'm doing it, it's okay. All right. So, verse 11, then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Now, again, put all this together. Saul rejected the word of the Lord. Rebellion is as witchcraft. So now Saul is on the road to witchcraft. Saul has rejected the word of the Lord. He loses the word of the Lord. He loses the Spirit of God. An evil spirit is guiding him now, telling him, Saul, do this. Saul, do this. Saul, go to the witch at Endor. Then he loses the mercy of God. His sins are not going to be forgiven. Okay? Then God says, I am not talking to you, Saul. Stop. I'm not. I'm done. This is the last thing I've said. Okay, now this is the last thing I'm saying to you, Saul. I'm not going to speak to you by visions, by dreams, by Urim, or by the prophets. Saul lost all contact with God. And here's what gets everybody. It says, well, you know, Samuel, looked like Samuel was standing there. He said Samuel was there. Let me show you this, okay? In the Book of Mormon, it doesn't say another gospel testament of Satan dragon. Doesn't say that on there, does it? It doesn't say a book of the writings of a familiar spirit. It doesn't say that. It says another testament of Jesus Christ. It looks like Jesus Christ in the little pictures in here. And it looks like words from the Bible that Jesus would have said. And some of them actually match what's in the Bible. But it's not Jesus. Okay? I covered this. The main savior of the Hebrew Roots movement is who they say is Yahushua, but then for a new audience, they would say Yahushua is who you would call Jesus. See, they don't say our savior is now Lucifer. They don't say that here. They call it by the name that they want to deceive everybody with. And Saul was delivered over to his own destruction by a lying spirit. And it was his rebellion against the written word of God that summoned another Samuel. And remember, another Samuel is just like another Jesus, a familiar spirit, a fake phony Jesus with a fake phony gospel, bringing a fake phony drunken spirit to mankind all over this world. You see now what witchcraft is all about. You remember I was kind of hinting at you about he goes to a woman and the name of Endor is there. Remember that? Okay. Two things that I know of that have taken this story from the Bible, the woman at Endor, or the witch at Endor, because I'm reasonably sure if she was consulting familiar spirits, she was a witch too, all right? But it was witchcraft that drove Saul there. You remember the show Bewitched, right? 1965, 66, somewhere around in there. I have an interesting theory. I'll just throw you the quick version of it. 1963. The Supreme Court throws mandatory prayer out of public schools. Schools can no longer mandate that children begin the day by praying. That was 1963. Number two, 1963. We have basically a Masonic ritual of the death of Hiram Abiff going on in Dallas, Texas on November 22nd, 11/22. That's 33. All right. And there's all kinds of stuff there. I've never talked in depth about it, but it's all there. All right. Then in 1963, according to Jesuit priest Malachi Martin, 1963, there was when Pope John the 23rd, that's a number for you, died, and they're going to bring a new pope in, there was what Malachi Martin described in a book called The Windswept House, the enthronement ceremony of the fallen angel Lucifer. Took place in the Vatican, and a joint ceremony took place at a Catholic church in Charleston, South Carolina. Charleston, South Carolina is on the 33rd parallel. All of those happened in 1963. And what I did was, I looked at television shows before 1963 and after 1963. Before 1963, it was Father Knows Best and all of these home-style, family-decent entertainment programs. Okay? After 1963, Bewitched, The Addams Family, the monsters, the Twilight Zone. You have all of this weird occult-based television programming just coming out of the TV screen, all right? Before 1963, you don't have the, how can I put it? You don't have the lyrics and music before 1963 that you do after 1963. Guess who came to town? The Beatles. The Beatles, and then the Rolling Stones. It's called the British Invasion. It took place in the 60s. So that 6 years later, 1969, you got Woodstock. Okay? You've got teenagers now that 10 years ago, 1959, that would have never taken place. The communities would have never allowed Woodstock to take place. 10 years later, after 63, all this stuff's going on. And you just take that and you run with it. But that's just my little theory. So we have Endora, the witch from Bewitched, and then we have Endor shows up in my kids get all confused. Dad, what was the first Star Wars movie? I would say, Star Wars, Episode 4. What happened to Episode 1? Well, that came out like 20 years later. Well, then where did Episode 5 come in? Well, it came in after Episode 4. And then 6 finished it. And then they started all over again with 1, 2, and 3. Anyway, in Star Wars 5 and 6, you find out that the place where Darth Vader has his, I can't remember what it was, but it was on the planet or the moon, Endor. Where did George Lucas get that? Got it from the witch at Endor. And what was Star Wars, the Jedi, and Darth Vader all about? Witchcraft. That's what the Force is. So you have the connection of Endor with witchcraft, whether it's a comedy series or whether it's a movie, you still have the same thing. And what I'm seeing is, I think that our nation, our world, our culture, our churches, our children are being turned over to witchcraft. First, because we've rejected the word of the Lord. And once we start rejecting the word of the Lord in this nation, then we lose the spirit that is in this nation that was keeping families and communities decent. Right? Communities were decent for the most part. Okay? Once you lose the spirit, God no longer has mercy on the sins of a nation. So he's withdrawn his spirit. He sent an evil spirit into this country, and you can see it. 1963 on, you can see it taking over. The drug scene takes over all of our youth, free love, the sexual revolution, the pill, you name it. All right? That takes over and changes America. So what's next? Instead of our nation turning to God, because God's not going to talk to them anymore, they're going to turn over to familiar spirits. And you know what happens after that? Destruction. And that is what's coming. And witchcraft and rebellion is the common theme among all of this. And there is a spirit that is in charge of witchcraft. Remember, God uses these evil spirits to do His will. Pharaoh was God's special agent. God used Pharaoh to put cruel authority over Israel so Israel would cry out unto the Lord to be freed from that bondage. God freed them. And then to get them to go across the Red Sea, God brought Pharaoh in on the scene one more time to just go, boom! And Israel walked on dry ground over to the other side. That's what got them there. You could say that in your life, God used evil, God used the devil, God used cruel authority to bring you to a place where you would gladly run into the arms of a loving God because of what was chasing you. Amen? Okay? But there is a spirit that is over all of this. Let's take a look at it. 2 Kings 9:22. And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many." So, who's he talking about? He's talking about Jezebel. Who is Jezebel? Well, she's got several names in the Bible. Jezebel's one of them. Delilah is another. Herodias is one. She has many names, but the one she is commonly referred to in the King James Bible is Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations, that's 10, of the earth. 13 words in your King James Bible. And remember, what we're seeing here in these stories in the Bible is a shadow of spiritual things. We can't see spirits, for the most part. We can't see them. So God shows us what they look like in the pages of the Bible. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, I have seen the workings of Mystery Babylon, Jezebel. I've seen, because I knew what the Bible says, I've seen it at work. I've seen it at work in this church. I've seen it at work. Pastors say, "Pastor, boy, I'm having a hard time, and well, I don't know what's going on." And they'd tell me what's going on, and I'd go, "Oh, I know what that is. Sure, let me tell you what that is." I had that in my church, okay? Let me tell you who that is. That is Jezebel. That is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And here Jehu is putting it together. He calls her the whoredoms of thy mother. He calls, listen, you want to get somebody really upset? Call their mother a whore. And anybody who would come up to a guy and say, "Your mother's a whore," had better be ready to fight, because you're going to fight. No man would just stand there and take that. Unless, of course, Joram was going, yeah, I think you're right on that. Dad, Ahab, yeah, know everything. I know. So you're probably right. Jezebel's whore. But he said, there's no peace. Now, don't you listen to this. There's no peace so long as the whoredoms of thy mother, Jezebel, and her witchcrafts are so many. So here's what we're going to do. In order to understand witchcraft, in order to understand the spirit of witchcraft, which is always Babylon, think of it like this. Her first name is Mystery. That puts her right here, Morals and Dogma. Because Morals and Dogma is about a society with secrets. Don't tell anybody what's in this book, because it's a secret. That tells you what spirit is over Freemasonry. It is the mystery spirit. The Catholic Church says, "We shall now partake in the mystery of the sacred Eucharist." And everything the Roman Catholic Church does is a mystery of something. There's the mystery of the Eucharist. There's the mystery of the sacraments, the mystery of marriage, the mystery of the confessional, the mystery of the priest going after your little kids, okay? It's always a mystery. It is a mystery cult dominated by not the Holy Spirit of God, her, the whore, the witch. You're going to find, wherever you find whoredoms, you'll find witchcraft. Wherever you find witchcraft, you'll find whoredoms. Because the two go hand in hand. And Jezebel is going to be the picture of that for us. So, next week, I'm going to spend some time. I could start it now, but I want to spend some time dealing with it. We're going to take a look at Jezebel, take a look at some other passages in the Bible, and we're going to piece together what the Bible is teaching us about how witchcraft shows up, how it's related to whoredoms, how it's related, how Jezebel and the things that she does and says. So when you are knowledgeable of Jezebel and you know how she works, when you look now in the world that we live in, because remember, this whole capstone thing is all about not what has happened, but what is happening right now. And as witchcraft is gaining ground all over the world, even in the churches, We are just now one step away from putting that capstone on top of that unfinished pyramid. Every spell, every enchantment, every ritual that's done brings us one more step closer to the coming of the Antichrist. It's all about summoning, getting the Spirit to come in and do whatever that Spirit's going to do. That's what that's all about. So next week, we're going to take a detailed look. You study it yourself. Study Jezebel. Study what she does. Study what she says. Study how she's defeated. Okay? You'll like that. So I'm telling you, it works, and it works every time. All right? Hey, God bless you. I love you. Appreciate all your prayers for us. Appreciate the encouragement that you send our way. Appreciate the help financially that you send. God bless you for that. We always try to do what we can for the people of God. You're the reason why I do this. All right? God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.